Generating traffic and sales can be a challenge for online merchants. But selling on the Walmart Marketplace puts your products in front of millions of customers who shop on Walmart.com. And right now, sellers who join Walmart Marketplace can save up to 50% on referral and fulfillment fees for the first 90 days. So get started today. Head over to marketplace.walmart.com/savings. That's marketplace.walmart.com/savings. Welcome to E-Commerce Conversations, a weekly podcast from Practical E-Commerce, hosted by entrepreneur Eric Bandholz.
What is going on, Internet? Eric Bandholz back again with another amazing E-Commerce Conversations. Hope all is going well on the other side of the Internet. On the other side of the table from me, nobody! We got ourselves another beard brand update, another solo one. Been getting a lot of messages from you guys saying you really enjoy these solo updates. So I got a lot to talk about. I've got some stuff I'm going to share. Updates on things that I haven't yet talked about. That, I don't know, maybe some deep dark secrets when it comes to running the business that I'm going to share in this episode. And hopefully you can learn from me and not make the same mistakes I did. So pretty much this is going to be our 2023 recap and outlook into 2024, what our strategy is going to be, how we're going to tackle the month and expectations and all that jazz. So let's get into it. The first thing I want to do is really just recap how terrible 2023 was for me and for Beard Brand and just like the adversity that we went through. So let's just start with, at the end of the day, 2023 was, after being in business for 11 years, was our first year that we were in the red. We had always had profitable years up to this point, never been in the red before, never finished a year in the red. In fact, we've always been probably around, like, on average, 15% margins, and this year was not that at all. So it was not a fun year at all. Okay, so what caused the negativity of this year? Well, our sales on beardbrand.com were down 53% from our peak of 2021. So 2021 was our best year ever in terms of beardbrand.com sales. 2022, they went down a little bit, but our profit went up because we tightened our belt. And then 2023, they continue to go down in a significant way. And the profit went down really big way. So one of the downsides of 2022 being so profitable was we had a really big tax bill in April. That tax bill to the IRS. We've always had tax bills. It's not something you can really avoid. We always pay them on time, but it was just, everything really hit all at once in the first third of the year. So we had that tax bill. Now, we also, and I haven't talked about this before, we got a tax lien in 2023. So I don't know any listeners who've ever had a lien before. That was not an enjoyable experience. So long story short, we were being audited by the state of Texas in regards to sales tax, and we were working with them, so we were communicating with them and gave them all the information during our audit, and we were waiting for an invoice to pay. In fact, I was ready to pay that invoice in August of 2022, and they didn't mail us an invoice. And of course, me being the guy that I am, I'm not going to reach out to the government saying, hey, send me the bill with all the taxes we owe, because I don't know, maybe it gets lost in the mail, or not lost in the mail, maybe it gets swept under the rug. I don't know. I'm just not over antsy trying to figure out how to pay taxes. So in waiting for the invoice, it never came. And then one day the mail shows up and we have a tax lien in there. So it was real frustrating. In addition to the taxes we owed, we also had like penalties and fees, which were accumulating since when we sent all of our stuff over in August. So it was like an additional God, like a three quarters of a year of taxes and penalties and fees. And then one thing for those who have not had a tax lien before, oddly, it's much better to have issues with the IRS than it is to have issues with the state of Texas. The state of Texas is not very flexible in setting up payment terms for your tax lien. You pretty much, you need to prove that you tried to get a loan from like five different places and all those people failed you. And then from there, you have to like open up your books and your bank account and show them like all the cash you have. Whereas I think the IRS is a little more forgiving and a little more willing to work with you for payment of taxes. So they essentially gave us like 30 days to pay the taxes. Fortunately for us, we run a very conservative business and we have kind of like emergency savings for these type of things. So we paid them and paid the penalties in addition to paying our IRS taxes all at once. In addition to some big bills coming in from the holiday season. So basically like in, you know, January, February, March, April, we had, I'm not going to say all of our cash for our business went out the door, but pretty much all of our cash for our business went out the door. We were running on fumes. And the hard part of this is Brex, our credit card company, I guess they saw that we had a tax lien and they froze our credit card. So we couldn't even use Brex. Fortunately, I also have an American Express credit card and we moved our stuff over to American Express. But it didn't empower a lot of trust in the institution for Brex because we have never been late with Brex. We never carry a balance. We always paid off in full and we were continuing to pay it off in full. So to be shut off was at our worst, you know, kind of a time where an extra 15 days or 20 days of cash flow with our credit card was needed. They were not there for us. So, you know, subsequently, Brex is not a company that I feel confident building around. A little disappointed with how we did that. So that was not a good time dealing with all the taxes. All right, what else happened that was wrong? Around this time as well, I found a leak code that I had created, I think probably about 8 years ago. That was just testing the website, testing the codes, basically 100% off free codes. It was like test 100, I think was the code. And it got leaked onto some Facebook group or TikTok or whatever. And we had essentially like $30,000 worth of products had been ordered with this test code. So this was a little frustrating because our 3PL didn't catch it. I think I just saw a big order come in one day, and I'm not religious about checking all of our orders every day, and clearly not when I took this long to figure it out. And that was not fun. What else happened? So we lost Target. We've been working with Target for about 5 years. In 2022, Target essentially stopped replying to our emails after we had proposed our 2023 plans with them. They didn't tell us that they were no longer carrying us. They just flat out ghosted us. Which is a really, you know, not a pleasant way to be told. We essentially shot them an email and said, if you're not going to reply to this email, we can only assume that you guys aren't going to carry us in the future and we'll make adjustments to our order projections going forward. So we always knew that losing Target was potential and we tried not to build our business around it. And you know, maybe that's why we weren't able to maintain Target, but I have always wanted to build a business that is based around freedom. So we lost Target. We knew that was coming. The downside of that was effectively two things. Number one, we had a fair amount of inventory that we had purchased for Target that we were not going to be able to sell through at our current rates. So at the end of the year, we destroyed essentially $500,000 of our cost and products that were unsellable. That hurts. It was like 120 pallets of goods. And we're going to have another round of products we need to destroy this summer. So it's not been fun in regards to our inventory levels and destroying all that stuff. In addition to that, we have a dispute in our contract over chargebacks. Effectively, Target is claiming that we owe chargebacks for certain markdowns. And then in our contract, we argue that it says we do not owe it. So Target has refused to pay about $170,000 worth of invoices over this disagreement. They're also, at this point, you know, we've been dealing with this for about a year now. At this point, they're not coming to our request for arbitration to resolve this issue. And it's been really challenging to deal with, one, not getting paid for stuff that we sold them. What other problems we got? During all this madness, the stress levels, you know, my business partner, she recently had a third baby in about 5 years, and she's always been crystal clear about family comes first. And I think the stress of the business and the needs of the business, you know, she decided to step out of the day-to-day business. She's still very supportive. She's still a great business partner. She still meets regularly with the business, and I love her. I think she's an amazing partner. So I don't want to say, the only reason this is a downside is because she's such an incredible part and asset of the business, and not to have her in the day-to-day sucks. So she's still there, but I've lost her in the day-to-day presence, which is not good. During the summertime, we had to furlough our entire team to halftime. So everyone went to halftime, and that was not a fun time. And the strategy for 2023 was to grow through organic YouTube content. And our YouTube organic content effectively got crushed, and it performed worse than it's performed. So it's been a downward trend with that. And then, you know, like at the end of the year, after having Paul on the podcast show, Paul of BK Beauty, I tried TikTok shops. That wasn't effective, but again, I want to call that a big loss. Oh, and one of the things with Target is we had a lot of software that we used to kind of integrate into Target. When we realized we lost the account and we no longer need those softwares, we called them up and canceled them. Some of these companies, again, we've worked with for 5 years. We had like a 100 invoices that we always paid on time. And we told them, like, fundamentally, we at this point in the business, when we had gone through all of our cash, like, we could not pay for software that we were not using. So we canceled with them. And they said they had us on an auto-renewing contract. And subsequently, they sent us to collections. Would you believe that? After 5 years of working with the company, they sent us to collections. We had that happen with another company that basically they emailed us like an auto-renew, but the email never got to us. And on the day after, one of their emails got through us, and we're like, well, hey, what is this? We're canceling. We're not renewing this. And then they tried to extract more money out of us and threaten us to collection. So it's been like the untangling of Target has not been a pleasant experience at all. All right. So those are all the losses that I can remember. It was a lot. Maybe there were more losses. But within all that, as every entrepreneur must do, there are wins. So I do want to talk about the wins that we had in spite of all of our losses from last year. Win number one, I already talked about, but we had enough savings to pay for all of our losses and our tax bills and, you know, like our bad product and everything. Like, being very conservative with cash over the years finally did pay off. You know, that worry that you have as an entrepreneur that it could all go to zero one day, I lived it. And fortunately for us, we had enough to go to zero and not go to negative whatever. During the furlough, very fortunate that we didn't lose any of our team members. All the team members who we put on furlough stuck around with us during those hard times, and they came back to full-time in August. Since June, we've been profitable. It's been barely profitable, not at percentage levels that I feel comfortable with, but I effectively feel like we've kind of plugged all the holes in our boat, and now we just got to figure out how to get wind behind the sails. Part of the big drop we've had in sales was also due to manufacturing issues and launching products that did not meet our customers' expectations. We've been able to resolve a lot of our product issues by moving back to our old school formulations and to finding manufacturers who more align with our production needs and the size of the business where we're at currently. Another win, we were able to raise our prices in June and effectively raise our AOV from $48 to $60, which to me is a pretty big one and something that we actually still see going up. So that's been nice. One of the downsides of the higher prices is we are now getting lower orders, but because we're doing lower orders, our cost of 3PL, effectively the shipping cost of an order now is a smaller percentage. And that's been nice. So I don't think we're losing as much money in our 3PL as we were before. A big win for us is we have been able to increase our subscriber rate from about 1,100 to about 3,000. So we've added about 2,000 new subscribers to our products over the course of the year. And I do see that continuing at a nice rate into 2024 and the future. We did not sell on Amazon at all. And by the end of the year, we're at a $1 million run rate. So hopefully Amazon does become a seven-figure channel for us in 2024 and continue to see that grow into the future. Another win for us is like through the realignment and the furloughs, we've been able to get our team really in the right seat and working on projects that make a big impact. And I think without doing a couple of the things that we did, we probably would have not done that. And maybe our team members wouldn't be as sufficiently optimized for what they're working on. Another win is we started a new marketing strategy, the affiliate marketing strategy. After talking with the guys at Batch, they've been able to help us and support us a lot with affiliate strategy and getting placement. And so we've had some placement and some wins and some nice articles. And I feel like that's going to be one of those things that compounds not just in affiliate sales, but also from an SEO perspective. With my business partner stepping out of the day-to-day, the team has stepped up a lot and taken on new roles. So it's been nice to see them really grow. And that's been a big win for us. And then I think probably another big win. Oh, you know what? I forgot one of the losses that we got. We got sued for an ADA lawsuit, which is my first lawsuit, which sucks. But the counterpoint to that is the website performs very well. You know, in page speed insights on Google Lighthouse, the accessibility rating is very high. The page performance, I think, is relatively speaking pretty high for an e-commerce business. We were able to remove all this bloat and burden. Like, we no longer use Google Analytics, so we've been able to take that pixel in the code off our website. We switched entirely to Shopify Analytics for our tracking. So that's been nice. The ADA lawsuit continues. It has not been resolved yet. I'm still fighting and working through that and ideally trying to figure out a way to get out of this with the least amount of scars. So I spent a lot of time talking about the losses and not much time talking about the wins. I feel like that's kind of appropriate with how the year went. With all that being said, though, I am very optimistic about this business. You know, I've been doing this since 2012, and 12 years later, I feel just as excited to work on this business, roll out new products, to serve our customers, to continue to improve it, to continue to work on it, than I did on day number one. I think there's just something interesting about going through really hard times. One, it's never fun when you're in the moment, and it doesn't help to hear like, oh, it's going to get better. But the reality is nothing in life is permanent. Everything will pass, the good times and the bad times. So if you stay with it long enough and you're willing to persevere, you will get through the hard times. The hard times will eventually become the good times. And subsequently, the good times will stop being good times and they will become hard times again. Nothing is permanent. There is, what is it, entropy or something like that, where everything's kind of being pulled apart. So there's a lot of conversations that I had with people during the hard times about like, what do we do with the business? How do we make sure it lasts? What is it worth? Like, is it even worth doing anymore when things are really bad? Those are the questions you ask yourself. Like, should I just shut down the business and, you know, hang up the cleats and it was a good ride while I was there? Or, you know, do you stick with it? And I think like one of the attributes that I have that is maybe a gift is like my tolerance for uncomfortable situations is probably higher than most people. I am willing to suffer for longer periods of time than most people are willing to do that. Maybe that's from being a rower and the pain that you get on the boat and just having to stick with it. But I feel like a lot of other entrepreneurs are going to be able to relate. I do think there's a lot of entrepreneurs who also do not have that longevity. They love to launch new things and then sell the business and launch new things. And that's a great way of building a business too. Again, it's not right or wrong. I think it's just kind of like how I'm drawn towards building a business. So the big thing for us is we did have a lot of manufacturing issues in 2023. We did have a lot of quality control issues. We did have a lot of manufacturers say one thing and then deliver another thing. So we're excited to establish a relationship with a manufacturer who we feel like aligns with us. I'm going to take it slow and just kind of do one product at a time, but I do believe we can build a closer, more tightly aligned partnership with a manufacturer than our strategy in the past. Historically, our strategy in the past was like this diversification strategy with the fear that, like, what if the manufacturing facility burned down? What's going to happen? So because of that, we want to have a lot of different manufacturers, and almost all the manufacturers can handle like backup production. Whereas now in our 12th year, I feel like the better strategy is to really identify a manufacturer who is willing to build a partnership, like a closely aligned partnership where we're on the same page, we're more transparent, we're more open, we're telling them everything that's going on. They're getting a lot more feedback to the performance of the products and how the products are doing, the sales velocity, so they can plan and project. And I think there's going to be a lot more operational benefits to that type of structure than a diversified one. Like everything, everything has trade-offs. But at this point, I think that strategy is going to be almost like, think of it as doing it in-house without doing it in-house. So it is like more attuned to a core competency. From a 3PL structure, I think there might be a further efficiencies in finding a 3PL that is closer to that manufacturer. So as we get more products moved over to that manufacturer, can we also move our 3PL there and really bring more agility to our business? That's one of the things we'll look to and explore in 2024, whether or not we do it. I don't want to say we absolutely are switching our 3PL, but we may or may not do that. Again, I think products is going to be a big opportunity for us. Like 2023 was effectively fixing broken products, whereas now that we've fixed them, we can relaunch them and add new products, launch new products. And I think that will be exciting for not just us, but of course our customers, and being able to get new fragrances and new products. From a growth strategy, we will continue to focus on Meta as a platform. Right now, we're focusing on a core SKU. I think there's opportunities to grow beyond that SKU as we master this SKU. How do we do that with effectively all of our SKUs? So there's still a lot of room and growth on Facebook. That will be our top priority to master. And we are not going to look at YouTube paid or Google paid until we feel like we've kind of mastered Facebook and the potential we have for that. So really singular focus on customer acquisition through one channel so that we feel very confident in our abilities and we know for certain that new customers are coming from that channel. We haven't entirely given up on our YouTube organic strategy. There is a new format of content that we want to produce and launch, so that will be exciting to share and test. But if that does not hit and we continue to see decline in organic, I will seriously consider finally shutting down our YouTube organic and focusing on different avenues of growth in probably like 2025 and beyond. But hopefully we get back on track with our organic content and it resonates with our audience. For a company of our size right now, after all of our drop in sales, it would be great to be able to get out of our office lease. We're in that until 2026. So if you guys know of anyone in Austin, Texas, who's looking for about 3,200 square feet of office space, have them hit me up and we'll work out a deal. And like probably much to my chagrin, I do think that Amazon can continue to be a growth channel for us. My hope is that it gets to the point where it has replaced the income that we are generating from Target. It's still not at that yet, but I do feel like there's a potential to get to that run rate by the end of the year. Working with Full Circle has been a great partner. I had them on the show. Kenneth is the guest who we had on the show last year. They've done a really good job of just like really bearing all the burden of Amazon. It is not a painful channel for me because they are effectively doing everything. So I do see a lot of potential in that channel, and I'm excited to see how that will grow as we actually launch new products and new options on Amazon. So I am excited for that, despite my disdain for Amazon and the platform and kind of like all the downsides that come along with that. And then finally, the big thing is getting the business back to 15 to 20% profitability numbers. I think that's totally feasible. To do that, we do need to experience growth again. I would probably be happy with like a 20% year-over-year growth. That won't get us back to where we were. And in fact, it probably won't really get us back on that trajectory to where we were for a number of years. But I do think it helps get us back into that range of an operating profit that makes me sleep a little bit better at night. At the end of the day, Beard Brand is a company that I want to build that I enjoy. You know, to me, it's about the journey. I mentioned earlier about how you can build a business, sell it, build a business, sell it. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs are driven by the destination of the exit. To me, the destination is the journey. I say that a lot. I do mean it. It is fun to work in the business, and I do have total autonomy and control to be able to build this business in a way that I enjoy it. So if you ever feel like you are not enjoying your business, ask yourself, why am I not enjoying this? And what can I do differently with this business to make sure that I do enjoy it? Some decisions are tough. And even I am not willing to make those decisions all the time because I know, you know, like you just have baggage with a business when you're in it for so long. So the big question I want you to think about, if you're working towards an exit and a destination and your business is not enjoyable, you are fooling yourself to think, hey, my business is not enjoyable, but on the next business, it will be enjoyable. I'll do all the things right on the next one. Well, here's a little secret. You can do all those things on your current business now. You can fix all the things that you don't like about your current business, and you can make it so that it's an enjoyable business. You as a business owner and an operator, you are in total control. So if there are things that you do not enjoy in your business, you can figure out ways of not doing them and getting people who do enjoy them to do it. I know it's easy excuse for a lot of entrepreneurs to talk about how bad their business is, but if you cannot figure out how to make your current business enjoyable, I got tough news for you. You're not going to be able to make your next business enjoyable. For me, it brings me joy and excitement to think about building a business that my kids can grow up around and they can learn and experience through this business and potentially explore working for the business, whether it be my kids or my business partner kids. To me, it's just, what is it? It's like a bonus life. It's like a cheat code in life for your children and to be able to build like a generational advantage to your family. And I don't think it is wrong in any shape, way, or form to give your children an advantage in life because life is hard and anything they can do to have a leg up in life, you should give them that ability. So for me, I want to build a generational business that maybe my kids can run, my grandkids can run, and that really allow the Banholtz family to live happy, healthy, functional lives. So that's why I do it. That's why I show up every day. So I hope you guys had an okay 2023. Certainly, I hope your year was better than my year. And I hope you guys are looking forward to 2024 like I am. Hope to see you guys over on Twitter. If you want to support me, head over to beardbrand.com, buy some products. I don't care if you're a dude or dudette. Our products are going to work great for you. And it'll be a good experience. As always, thanks for listening. Cheers. And keep on growing.